I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by our Bachelor expert, Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Today is a big day. I'm not talking about fantasy suites. I'm talking about your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The Matchler is so important to you that in the middle of your birthday celebration, you want to get on a video call with me and talk about all things Bachelor.
I just couldn't wait to talk about last night's episode. Best way to spend the birthday.
That's it. Well, happy birthday, 21 forever.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Hope you have plenty of adult beverages this evening. I'm sure you needed some to get through last night's episode. So two nights in a row.
That's the plan.
Okay. Well, Fantasy Suites Week, unlike most years where you sort of just jump in to this big to-do or little to-do, whatever, is had this conversation between Matt and his father. Not surprisingly, was very divisive if you were following along on social media, which... big shock. I mean, again, that's what social media is for. But everything from it should have never been aired, they're taking advantage of Matt, they're taking advantage of his father, they're taking advantage of the situation, whatever you want, to this is something we need to see because it's what we heard about from day one of being raised basically by his mother alone for most of his life and how that's impacted how he's approached relationships. And that's, we heard a ton of that on last night's episode.
50-50. On if it should have been aired or not. I think they did take advantage of Matt a little bit because he's so new to all of this. I think he's just like doing whatever they say. We knew from the beginning about all of his issues and problems with his dad in the past. So for that to come full circle and to see ultimately them making up or starting the process to make up, I thought it was good to see and relatable too.
Matt, as this was airing last night, put out a three-tweet statement, if you will. Tonight's convo with my dad was hard to experience, and it's just as hard to watch all this time later, especially knowing the world is watching me. I just wanted to say that too often we see dangerous stereotypes and negative depictions of Black fathers in media, and they have consequences when presented without context. All I hope is that people watch that conversation with nuanced care and also an understanding that there are real systematic issues at play. I'm so proud of myself for being vulnerable, and I'm so proud of my mother. I wouldn't be who I am without my dad. That's a fact. And even in that statement, there's a lot to take out of there because clearly he doesn't feel any regret for having the conversation or making the progress that he did with his father. But there is, I think, a little bit of questioning. Okay, is that something that needed to be shown
to everyone?
Exactly. And watching it, I didn't even think about that. And that's the perfect example, I think, of how we all need to continue to be educated. And, you know, I'm just watching this as a, you know, obviously just a white guy watching The Bachelor. And I'm thinking, oh, this is important to the story of what right. we heard from Matt all this time. And then you hear how Matt sees it now, and a lot of people see it in a completely different light, obviously, of perpetuating these stereotypes that are out there. There's just so much out there that a lot of us don't think about. I think that's something that a lot of us can use as an important lesson here, because just because you see something and you think nothing of it doesn't mean it's nothing. Reading about this from people, obviously led by Matt and then Rachel and so many, Lindsay, so many mm-hmm. important people within the Bachelor universe and beyond. Yeah, I mean, watching it, I thought it was important. But then when I sat back, I thought, like, this is a conversation he needed to be had, but I don't think we needed to see it.
I agree. And it was different from other sit downs that we've seen, because I actually felt like for the first time in a while that like this wasn't really scripted. It honestly felt like a legit conversation, in that we were just watching Matt talk to his dad. Like 99.9% of all the conversations I feel we see, you know exactly like this is so scripted and this is that it's ridiculous. But I actually felt like this conversation was, we were just watching the two of them kind of hash it out.
Yeah. And I do think it gave us some important insight to what Matt is going through now. Because if he would have just got into all of these conversations and the last three dates and talk about how, well, part of the reason why I can't or haven't in the past been able to really look towards a future and engagement and marriage is because of this relationship with my father, and then say, oh, but I talked with him and we're on the road to recovering that relationship. And obviously everything isn't hunky-dory, but I want him a part of my life. And
it's a start.
It's a start. That's a perfect way to put it. But if we saw that in all three dates, like, I do understand some of the producers thinking of, well, if he's going to tell all these three women, like, this is going to be a big part of each of their dates about mm-hmm. this conversation, do we have to show it? And again, I wouldn't have, now that I know what I know and hearing from different people. But I do understand producers saying, listen, he's talking to all three of these women about this conversation. How can we not show the conversation?
Right. Unlike all those dates they withheld from us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. And would be, I think, the argument for them feeling they need to show it. Clearly, they have no issue holding things back. They easily could have left it on the floor. And I think that would have been more fair, certainly to Matt and his father. Matt has shared certain amounts of what had gone on. But I mean, does the country need to know that he had went on to start families? Plural?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
We can empathize with everything that Matt and his mother and his brother went through, being in a single parent household, without needing to know the exact specifics of this individual person and how they lived their life after the family broke up.
Yeah.
And the father clearly had no idea why he was there. As he said, no, he thought he was just there to like pop bottles, shoot some pool like you did with Tyler. Like, no. This is not...
This is actually all about you.
Yeah. And
surprise.
You could tell right away, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it was an important conversation, clearly needed to have this moment. And we can all discuss on either side whether we needed to see it or if we could have just been told of it.
I'm glad Matt knew that his dad was coming, though. I'm glad he wasn't blindsided.
That would have been 10 times worse. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. Maybe his idea, or maybe the producers ran it by him, or either way, like, I'm glad he didn't just show up and he was, because if he was blindsided and mad about it, then this conversation might have not even happened.
Because right off the top, Matt had said, like, there's something I need to do, and that's have a conversation with my father. And mm-hmm. I was like, I get that. Like we said, it's split, but I can understand, like, maybe we just leave this one on the floor and he can talk to the women about it himself. And that's all the details we need as the viewer.
Yes.
But listen, glad that they're talking again, and seemingly Matt said he wants him in his life, in his kids' lives, whenever that happens to be. All the best to them, yes, for sure. And I hope this is addressed somewhat on After the Final Rose.
Yes, I do too. If they still have this type of relationship of moving forward, or if it kind of just, he got on TV and that was it, that's kind of the end.
Yeah.
It can really go either way. So it'll be interesting to see.
Listen, was it fair? That this was on TV? Like, do you feel like the producers misled you about what this was going to be? I don't know. That's information that I think we're going to get out of After the Final Rose if they decide to address it or just focus on the issues with the now final two, Rachel. But now we get to the actual fantasy dates of the fantasy suite week. Michelle and Matt kick things off. Gross or sexy?
Gross spot. Gross.
No, you need to get it out. It's just
no, it's gross. And like, not even the treat. Well, I mean, the treatments were gross, but the sound effects that they left in were not necessary. I hated it.
Well, so Katie,
poor Rachel. I mean, Michelle, like, she thought it was going to be like an actual spa day, like fun day.
Well, Katie gets a spa day and she gets Tyler. Michelle gets a spa day and she gets oatmeal and milk.
Yeah.
And
but even Katie, like, she didn't even get the spa day. Like, yeah, she had to sit in a closet.
Right. But at least she got Tyler. True. I mean, come on. True. That's way better than like some gross oatmeal foot bath.
Yes. And like just that. Oh.
Yeah. And we never really got the full explanation of what was even in the milk. Like, they just said it was like milk consistency.
Stop.
And then, I mean, I'm all down for massages, but like, just like full pads of butter.
like, no, thank you.
You get quarter of a stick and you get quarter of a stick.
And like, Michelle was like trying to make it like sensual and like, but it was like, it's butter. It's like, you can't hide the fact that it's just butter. It's gross.
It smells like a bakery in here, which, I mean, to me is sexy, but whatever. That's just me. I thought it was interesting that he singled out her parents as being the most comfortable of any of the four that he met last week. That's who he was most comfortable talking to. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely, a good thing for him to say. Like, it definitely gave off vibes of, I hate to say the validation word, but validation. But I thought that they had a really good date and a really strong connection watching them. Like, I know I said this about Matt talking to his dad too, but I felt like I was watching a real date. Like, it wasn't a TV show. Like, the other ones, Bree and Rachel, I felt like I was watching The Bachelor. Like, just a random reality show. But Michelle, and it felt like that with when she had the date with Zooming with her kids, too. Like, I felt like we were just watching a real date and not necessarily a reality show.
Yeah, and you know, Michelle talked about how, you know, her parents obviously have been together for over 30 years. And it's, you know, gives you that idea of like, oh, I want to strive for that. And I like hearing from her that just because your experience was different, like your experience bringing what you bring to the table with your mother raising you, like, is just as important to this, you know, relationship than me and my parents of 30 years that were quote unquote perfect. And, you know, everything's still great, looking for ways to continue to fall in love and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, for her to be aware that it's like everything, you need everything to like, what makes us is everything. It's not just, oh, well, let's just focus on, I have the quote unquote right parents. Like,
right.
No, exactly. Both are important.
Yeah. It makes who you are. And I thought it was a real conversation when she said, you know, people talk about falling in love and being in love, but what about staying in love? And that's just as important as, you know, this whole falling in love with these crazy dates and like all these, I don't want to say nice places because they're in one place, but these really over the top dates and everything. Like, what about staying in love like 10 years after?
Yeah, that's something this show can certainly use. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very similar to what we see, not just, you know, every 6 months on this show, but we see it all the time when, you know, actors start dating on the set. And then once it's not exciting and you're in the middle of this, you know, all the spotlight's on you, then how do you keep doing it? You know, once you're away from that. And as we've seen, this show that's one of its biggest, you know, non-important, because obviously they have deeper issues that we need to address. But in this,
yes,
talking about relationships and keeping people together or getting people to stay together, clearly they've not found a way to meet in the middle of, okay, we get people that can feel a connection, but a lot of them end very quickly.
That's just another point in the we need to work on this column.
Yeah. And, you know, Michelle, you know, does, you know, say, listen, I'm ready to be engaged, all that. And unfortunately, Matt, you know, when she says, not only just falling in love with you, but I'm in love with you. And then thank you for telling me that. Like,
yeah.
Delivered that to two of the three women this week. And
that's
rough. And
not a good look.
I think that tells us probably all we need to know. You know, you feel for Michelle in the moment. Obviously, at the time, she's just thinking, well, he's not going to say it to anybody, so we're all good.
Classic.
classic is right. Whoops. That's not the case at all, Michelle. And, of course, obviously, all three chose the overnight date. Then you have her do the walk back to the hotel. And this is another thing we just need to get rid of, and I hope it was just them being lazy during quarantine with both The Bachelorette and The Bachelor. Can we not have the final three just hanging out and chatting after each of their overnight dates?
After the walk of shame.
Yeah. Can we just not do that?
So uncomfortable. But that's the exact moment definitely in this episode where the others start spiraling, really. Like, this was, really right before Michelle got her date card was when Rachel, Bree did pretty good. Bree was just there.
Yeah.
But Rachel, that was when she was like, oh, he's with other women.
This is the hardest week and they're going to spend a night together and this is my worst nightmare. Or also the show.
Yeah. What you signed up for, literally.
And as we love to say around here, is this your first day? This is The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
I don't know if everyone just thinks like it's never going to affect them, or I don't know, but it affects you. And then you look ridiculous because you know that's what you're getting into.
I think we all understand, of course, if you're dating someone, even within The Bachelor, you don't want to think about them going off and having sex with someone else. Obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, I would hope not.
At the same time, you would hope that that's something that you make peace with very early.
Over.
Because guess what? No matter what, like, very rarely do we not see all three of these dates happen. You know, this is not, unless you're going to get Colton as your bachelor, you're almost always going to get three of these dates. Now, it doesn't mean all three, Nick had talked about with when he had Rachel in the fantasy suite of he had already made up his mind that Rachel was not going to be the one. Mm-hmm. So he basically got her drunk so that she'd pass out like with the crew. No, stick around. Let's have drinks. Let's party some more.
Yeah.
And so they didn't end up doing anything. And that was basically his way of like, I don't want to turn her down and be rude. Yeah. At the same time, I also don't want to take advantage of her. So, like, let's just find a way around doing something.
To make it fun.
Yeah. Like, we could still have a good time, and I don't have to tell her that she's not the one before we get down to the final.
Yes.
But Matt clearly wasn't going to do that, and most don't. So for Rachel to just, you know, I'm nauseous and I, oh my God, I don't think, you know, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Just,
you knew this was coming.
I guess. And we'll get to, I guess, Rachel in a second, unfortunately, but,
literally a second.
Literally a second is right. So listen, Bree is a wonderful woman. And, mm-hmm. Again, we don't know a ton about her. We don't really know a ton about anybody other than Michelle and even her. We don't know a ton about, but that's who mm-hmm. we know the most about. They decide to go camping and she's convinced.
But the least outdoorsy person on the show.
Yeah. And she thinks for about a second that, oh, this is going to be our fantasy suite, is we're going to have to be in a sleeping bag, which would have been peak quarantine bachelor, because them just saying like, listen, guys, We could only reserve so many of these suites here. They got to prepare them. This show's almost over. They're bringing people in. We got to keep some of these some of these fancy suites ready for real customers that are coming in a week.
I really thought at one point I was like, they're not going to let her stay in this tent. This better not be the end.
And, you know, Bree basically said a lot of the same things as Michelle. Like, let's... you know, let's get engaged. Let's do it. And she was the only one, though, that asked Matt if he wanted to get engaged. Now, she didn't say specifically to her, but obviously that's what she meant.
Yeah, I think she was a little bit more aggressive than Michelle with it. I mean, definitely by asking him, she asked, you know, how close are you actually to getting engaged at the end of this? After Matt's answer, you could tell that before maybe talking to his dad, he maybe wasn't ready for an engagement at all. Like, he really needed to have this talk with his dad to get to the point where he's at now. But he said, you know, after having a conversation with my dad earlier, I'm much closer to being ready for an engagement at the end of this. And he didn't really say like, yes, I'm 100% ready. I'm 100% ready. Like, let's do this, but you're not the one.
And maybe that's why he didn't answer the question. Exactly. I was just thinking, that it was actually about maybe not being ready to be engaged, but yeah, I guess I should have read it more as, well, he doesn't want to tell
it's
her.
It's not you.
Yeah. So it's not even just answering about the engagement question, but more specifically engaged to her.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she was like, I'm 100% ready. So basically, like, let's go.
And then he was like, yeah, yes, but no.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bree got the same response when it was, you know, spilling everything out that I'm ready for an engagement. I'm in love with you. Oh, my God. It's a great feeling. Yeah. When people say that, thank you for sharing that.
And that was it.
That was it. Even though word of the night uninterrupted time. They are so looking forward to that, which obviously you're going to use code words for having sex. Okay. Uninterrupted time, at least. So we all can just use
it's
that going
classy
forward.
Classy way to do it.
Yeah. Like, so we can just use that going forward now, anytime, and be like, so honey, think we, can fit in some uninterrupted time, or if it's good enough for Matt James, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, back at the hotel, Rachel's still freaking out.
She doesn't know she's on The Bachelor.
Yeah, she's breaking down. And this is where, if I'm Matt, and listen, we start off a conversation with, if I'm Matt, there's a lot that I'm happy about. But one thing I'm not is every date, not just these final three, final four, final five, every date at the beginning, the person is so excited. Oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. We're going to have a great time. Now we're down to the final
cut
three.
Cut to Rachel.
Rachel. Boom, 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 boom. Hi, Matt. Yeah, I guess we're going to have a great day. Let's go.
Yeah, she just moped all the way. That was the longest walk.
Like,
ever.
Send her home right there. What are you doing?
We talk about red flags
all the time. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, if she wasn't sent home after that, she's not going home alone. She's not going home alone.
It's just, well, I think ultimately she will, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the end.
I'm saying the same thing at the TV as I'm watching this. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, how do you not see that and just say, okay, do says goodbye.
Yeah. She looks like she'd rather be literally anywhere else.
Seriously.
Than with Matt.
Like, she looked like she was in pain and you're like, all right, this is going to be a great day. And to his credit, he, you know, as he always has done throughout the season, is really just being wholly empathetic. And like, I can mm-hmm. tell that something's on her heart and I want her to share it with me. Now, I don't think he meant, you know, in the middle of making like pottery, but
like maybe the entire walk to the pottery class maybe would have been a good time.
Yeah. And I like how the teacher is saying, you know, these are like a relationship. You have to, you know, have a strong base and build your way up. And then right on cue, Rachel's just bleh. I'm like, okay, I know. Like,
she failed pottery class.
We say this a lot about the editors of this show, but talk about perfection of from that line to her just like, bleh,
yeah,
completely
at
messing
that point.
Up.
Yeah, that was a great edit.
Foreshadowing alert, party of two, I guess.
Or one.
And so she decides to stop the ghost date and say, no, we need to have this conversation now. Because she apparently didn't want to spend the rest of the date looking like someone stole her dog or something. Mm-hmm. Clearly she hears what she needed to hear. And unfortunately for all of us, what I don't think any of us wanted to hear, which was him basically, yeah, we're all good.
And he keeps bringing up that skydiving moment, which like you keep bringing up of like her almost dying like all the time. But that moment must have really shown him something. I don't know how.
You know, so rarely in this sort of situation where you think about like the importance of order. And not just with roses, but especially once you get to fantasy suites. Mm-hmm. And there's never a good reason for telling someone why they're not the first one. Yes. And or even you're not the second one even. This is probably the only time someone had a good excuse for saying you're three of three. So you're like, you're not sloppy seconds, you're sloppy thirds. And it's because, oh, I was giving you time to recover, which she thought was a joke. And he said, no, I'm serious. I wanted to give you as much time as possible.
I wanted to give you just that extra 2 days.
Yes. And listen, believe it or not, and I don't know if I do, but it's a great reason.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do people almost die on this show? I mean, you have twice this season, which is, you know, but in general, it doesn't happen often. So for him to be able to say like, oh, remember when you almost died? Yeah, I thought I'd give you a little time to recover from that.
And I think like that's the moment where I fell in love with you. When you almost died.
When
and
you did a
bruised
face
your entire body.
Remember when the producers fixed your hair before letting you see an EMT? Yeah. That's when I was all in.
That's when I knew.
And
oh my God.
Listen, the flip switched with her right away. All of a sudden it's, oh my God, I'm head over heels. Couldn't be happier.
I can't decide if I'm like really excited for next week to see how this all pans out or if I'm like anxious.
I
think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. I'm definitely anxious more on that side only because I think it's Rachel and it's just going to pain me to watch it be Rachel.
Yeah.
And even you can't ever really say this, but even like the racism aside, which should be obviously she shouldn't have been on the show to begin with. And because early on, before I knew all that about her, like early on, I was like, okay, she seems cool. She seems like they could be a good fit. And then obviously my opinion was influenced by all the racist stuff. Like, hey, you're done. Goodbye. Yeah. But at this, even without that, like, what have you seen from the last few weeks? Look at her just through the prism of the first couple weeks where you just thought she was a normal girl or normal person. She's done nothing to make you think like, oh yeah, this is somewhere.
Yeah, she just literally almost died. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. She's the girl that almost died skydiving.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm more on the extra side, just because having to watch him go through this idea of proposing to someone who immediately he's going to break up with. I mean, how can you not?
Just, I certainly would hope so.
For him to have to go through that is just awful. And so I'm just, poor guy. Yeah, I'm just anxious more for him than anything else. And for Michelle, because on the flip side, literally everything we've seen from Michelle has been awesome.
The one that got away.
Yeah. So listen, I'm still holding out hope, hope upon hope that it's Michelle, whether it's with the Neil Lane engagement or after the fact, after he dumps Rachel. Again, I'm speaking of what I think. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. But if he picks Rachel and if he then breaks up with her, which if he picks her, I hope he does, then, hey, it's happened before where you go back to someone who wasn't the quote unquote pick.
That kind of ties into one of my outside of this my Bachelor Nation story, universe story, which I'm just going to bring up now instead of in a few minutes at the end. But so there's this theory going around that he's actually with Heather.
Heather?
Now. Heather, as in Heather. So after we recorded last week, obviously that means like bigger stories break
every week.
So if people took screenshots of the like the opening of the Women Tell All, and you can see Heather.
I saw a blonde person, so we're thinking that was Heather.
Yes, so she, and you can see side profiles, like it's her, like. She was in the chairs with all the women, like ready for the Women Tell All. So somehow, obviously, we didn't see Heather last week at the Women Tell All. So she was completely edited out. So not only is that on the sketchy side, but they both posted on Instagram stories that they were in San Clemente, California, not together, but like different stories of them doing different things, but they were both in San Clemente, California when Matt lives in New York. So I don't know.
That's weird.
It's a theory that's out there. I don't know.
I mean,
it would be weird, but it wouldn't be as weird as it would used to be, because we saw the whole Kelly and Peter thing. Like Kelly was kind of a nobody on the season. Like she didn't really have any standout moments and they ended up together somehow.
Sure. So, but he did know her briefly before the show and they spent some time together on the show. He knew Heather for 30 seconds.
But loves Hannah Brown. And trust everything. I don't know. I'm not saying I believe it, but I thought it was extremely weird that she was completely edited out. Unless it just got too
mean,
either too crazy or too mean with the girls, and they just had to cut that out because they didn't need any more of the mean girl publicity.
Well, because think about it.
Or nothing even happened with her. She was just like, hey, and I don't really want to talk about anything, so you can just edit me out.
But clearly she wasn't even on the stage for the whole time. So she must have decided to leave. So.
Right. So what, right. So what happened? Because if you, I mean, you can just, you can look it up anywhere. I'll probably post it on the social media, but you can, her hair is very distinctive, obviously, but there are side profiles. Like it's her. And she did a funny, there was a funny TikTok about it, her doing it in her living room of like the back of her head and her side profile on the TV screen. And then her doing the same thing. I don't know.
That would be
I just want to know why she was cut out.
Yeah. Oh, 1000%.
I think being together is a bit of a stretch of the theory. But it's very, very clear that she was cut out of this, of the Women Tell All. Huh. So I wonder how that happened.
Well, this is going to be my A+ segue. Speaking of getting cut out, The Morning After with Rachel was cut out.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's just, I mean, nothing to read into, something to read into. But for some reason, we did not see that long goodbye the next morning. It went right to people preparing for the rose ceremony.
Yeah, or the walk back into the the horrible, awkward walking back to the other girls.
If they had Rachel walk back in with the other two, it would be fascinating to see after, like, how, oh my God, this is the worst ever, if she like comes strutting in and be like, hey guys, best for last. Yo, what's up?
We did pottery. We had a great time.
Oh my God. It would basically like Ghost.
Which you probably would have.
Ghost is this movie that you might have seen on cable one time.
Yeah.
And so she goes into the, Rachel that is, goes into the rose ceremony telling Chris how, you know, this is the most confident she's ever been. And it's just different with me than is with the other people. And God, it might be. And Bree said she felt better than last week. Well, whoops. Mm-hmm. Because Michelle first, Rachel second. Well, Bree, you were third again.
Yeah.
This time there are only two roses. So she managed to hold it together. I thought she was going to really lay into him and not pull a Victoria, because she's obviously 1,000 times the person that Victoria is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, credit to her. Mm-hmm. But I thought it really looked like she was like ready to go, and like was just going to, why didn't you tell me this? And no, she just said it's just upsetting that I'm thinking about how I'm never going to see you after this. And
maybe she kind of knew. Like, I feel like after a fantasy suite date, like if you, like that's a long time of talking or not talking, or like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you would know. And maybe she just knew, like really deep down, that it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Or she was just completely blindsided that she didn't have time to process anything.
Like, you picked Rachel over me? What?
Good luck with that. Let's see how that ends up.
What? Okay. I thought I knew you as someone that made good decisions. Make better life decisions.
I mean, that would have been a good response, but.
It would have been a good response. And then we thought it might have been this week. Next week, because it's the last episode, we don't have any choice. We finally get the, are you okay? No, I'm not. Do you want to do this anymore? I don't know. He gets up and walks away from Chris Harrison. Much
when you
like
put it
the
like
franchise
that,
has.
It doesn't seem very exciting.
But we finally find out why it is. I'm going to assume it has something to do with Michelle, since, again, I'm assuming that he picked Rachel. So whether it's a Peter situation where she
or Rachel and he's just so upset over it and runs after her.
What an even worse way to end the season if he
not happily ever after.
Well, listen, I think we know no matter what happens, it's not going to be happily ever after with anyone that is on this show currently.
Rachel.
Again, unless it's Michelle, and not even just as an engagement, but like after the fact, but it could, I'm still fingers crossed that
one can hope
that he is engaged to Michelle and we don't have to worry about doing a campaign to make her the bachelorette. Like she can't be the bachelorette because she's engaged to be married and moving to New York, or he's moving to Minnesota and they're all happy as clams and great. All's well.
We can cross our fingers.
We can cross our fingers, but probably not what's going to happen. And it is the shocking season finale of The Bachelor. So at this point, I don't know what could totally be shocking. Maybe not proposing to anyone.
Yeah, or the shocking is the after part.
Right. But at this point, would that be shocking? It was shocking when we heard about it, even though I guess it happens almost every season where they miss one or two of these types of people. Yeah. But I don't know if it, at this point it's shocking because I think everybody sort of knows.
Yeah.
Like if you're tuning into The Bachelor and just finding out after the final rose, like, what? She's a racist?
He did.
You're just finding out now? I mean, come on.
He did what?
Like, I don't look for any of this stuff. And
yeah. No, I mean, this, like, this was pretty.
This was everywhere.
Like breaking news story-ish.
Yeah. Because people try, like I said, people try to send us stuff a lot. And because I try to avoid spoilers, I usually don't read any of that. And I don't go down any rabbit holes with Rachel. You didn't need to. It was just everywhere.
It was there. It was there.
And I don't know if you saw the clip after the credits, but Matt decided he was going to make s'mores, but he was going to wrap it in tinfoil and then basically like just drop the tinfoil over the fire.
Yeah.
It did not go well. So PSA.
Well, that's not how you make a s'more, Matt. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently in the South, they don't teach you how to make s'mores properly. Come to the Northeast, we'll show you how to make a proper s'more.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
So next week, finally, is finally the finale.
Yeah.
And I believe we get full 3 hours, if I'm not mistaken. 2 hours of finale and 1 hour of after the final rose.
Yes. I think that is accurate.
The shocking season finale of The Bachelor.
It feels like it, like, I can't believe it's already at the end, but at the same time, like, Victoria seems like forever ago. So, really sure how I feel about it being the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sums up most everything over the last year, and we're almost like a year to the day of when everything just went. And literally everything feels both like the longest thing ever and like a week ago. So why should this be any different?
Yeah, accurate.
But before we get to getting ready for the big finale, was there anything else other than the conspiracy theory about
Heather?
Is there anything else going
on? Can't really top that, but just a couple things this week, actually. Chris Harrison did a GMA interview. Not sure if you saw
it. I want to call it that.
Yeah. Going off of your comment, it wasn't really too much of an interview. But that was his, you know, breaking the silence, I guess. Very, as Michael Strahan said, very surface responses. He did say that he wasn't planning on going anywhere and that he would still be part of the franchise. I don't know if that means as the host or something else. He did say that he was going to work with people to be more educated about things, and which was, I guess, a good touch to his interview. But like people said, and I think Michael Strahan said, but until we see him actually doing some of these things that he's talking about, then it really doesn't. It's really just talking.
I do think it's good, and I mentioned this earlier. I think it's good advice for almost all of us to do a little bit of learning. It just, you're 100% right. It just sounds empty when it's coming from very what sounded like prepared like a prepared statement more than just like a conversation or an interview where you're apologizing.
Yeah.
Just like, eh.
And then off of that, Rachel Lindsay has activated her Instagram again, saying good vibes only. So hopefully,
which means she will not be reading her notifications. Yeah. People so, are the worst.
Hopefully, people won't go after and attack.
Which I still can't wrap my head around. She's done nothing wrong. Forget about ever, but especially in this situation, I just, there's a lot of this that's been going on this season that I can't wrap my head around for different reasons.
Yeah.
But this just, what the hell has she done that get people so angry? I don't understand a bit of it.
Yeah. No, I don't understand either. So
leave her alone.
But hopefully we will continue to see her on Instagram and she won't be going away.
She is our queen. You will leave her alone.
Yes. And there actually are, she was approached to becoming the host of The Bachelorette.
Listen, if she's the host, they don't air that interview with, they don't even have cameras for that interview with Matt's father.
Yeah, I think that would be a good choice because Bachelor Nation knows her. Not that someone outside would be bad. Part of the point of The Bachelor and Bachelorette is you go from, you take people from past seasons and you just have that following. So I think she would be a good choice if if we needed a new host. So we shall see.
More Rachel the better. This Rachel, yes. Lindsay.
Yes, well, Rachel Lindsay.
Not the other one.
Specify, please.
Are you ready for the finale? The shocking season finale. Are you ready?
I am. I'm ready all for right. it. To see how it all plays out.
Awesome. Well, once again, happy birthday, Katie.
Thank you.
Everybody make sure to wish her a happy birthday at Bachelor Podcast on all socials. Like I said, 21 forever.
Yes,
have yourself
21.
A couple adult beverages. Say hello to the twins for all of us. Thank you for joining us as always.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.